Miller Show.
I totally don't know what that means, but I want it.
Opinions and information for the Wahoo and Hokie Nations.
It ain't cool being no jive turkey so close to Thanksgiving.
You can reach the program by calling 866-356-ESPN.
I mean, listen, we're talking about practice. Not a game. We're talking about practice.
Or you can email the show at jerry@cvasports.com.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Now, here's your host, Jerry Miller.
Show me the money!
Welcome back, guys. Jerry Miller. This is the Jerry Miller Show. Executive producer Kevin Quigley behind the glass. He's screening your phone calls. And, of course, the Jerry Miller Show, thanks to Fork Union Military Academy, where boys become men, where 75% of the 2008 Fork Union Military Academy graduating class got full academic scholarships to the college institutions of their choice. You know, one thing I find very perplexing, and in fact, I'm flabbergasted by this, why does Mike Groh seem to get, you know, such a free pass? And I understand folks are always saying, oh, nepotism. Mike should have never gotten the job, and he shouldn't have. Mike should never have gotten the job. He got promoted too quickly. But you look at it from a statistical standpoint. I'm going to base my argument against Mike Groh as the offensive coordinator at Virginia from a statistical standpoint. In 2007, Mike Groh's offense, from a total offense standpoint, was ranked 101 out of 119 1A football teams. They were 101 in 2007 for total offense with 330 yards of contest. In 2007, from a scoring offense standpoint, Mike Groh's offense was 81st in 1A football, just 24 points a game. Now, if 2007 is an aberration, that's fine, but it's not. Look at 2006. Mike Groh's offense, total offense, 113 out of 119 teams, 257 yards of contest. Scoring offense, 110 out of 119 teams, just 15 points a game in 2006. And guys, in 2008, it hasn't gotten much better. He's second to last in the ACC total offense. He's last in the ACC in scoring offense. Again, I will call for Mike Groh to do his job better, to make more of an impact as an offensive coordinator, because right now he's not worth the check we're paying him. We welcome Chris Coleman into the mix of TechSideline.com. And Mr. Coleman, good afternoon, sir. I guess the question I want to throw to you first, the comparison I want to throw to you first, you know, similar problems in Blacksburg, where it seems Brian Steinspring has struggled as the offensive coordinator for a matter of years. Al Groh gives Mike the free pass because it's his son. Why does Frank Beamer constantly giving Brian Steinspring a free pass, Mr. Coleman?
Well, you know, Frank's a real loyal guy. He pretty much has a group of his close friends and former players on the coaching staff. And when you're really close to somebody like that, you know, it's really tough to let them go. But, you know, I kind of think it's gotten to the point now where at the end of this season, I'm not sure he's going to have any choice.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm surprised it's lasted this long. I mean, a lot of folks really chomping at the bit for Brian Steinspring. What has he struggled so much with, Chris, as far as this offense goes over the last few years?
Well, you know, the line's not pass blocking very well. The running backs don't block very well. I'm beginning to think it's not them individually. It's the scheme. I don't know if it's too complicated or what, or they're just not getting coached up properly. I really don't know, but I know something's got to change in there to make this offense more productive. You know, here's a good stat for you. Eddie Royal dominated Monday Night Football last night. In his first ever NFL game, he had 9 catches for 146 yards and a touchdown. Going into the Duke game last year, which was at the beginning of October, Eddie Royal had 9 catches. It took him 5 or 6 games last year to catch 9 passes at Virginia Tech. For the Denver Broncos last night, he caught 9 in one game.
Man, Chris Coleman, TechSideline.com, kind enough to join us. Every Tuesday he comes on this program, guys. We catch up with Virginia Tech football. I mean, how much of it has to go on Brian Steinspring and Mike Groh's shoulders, Chris? I mean, how much of it is Dave Borbley, the offensive line coach at UVA? How much of it is Newsom, the offensive line coach at Tech? In fact, how much is it the head coaches who have told their offensive coordinators, we want vanilla because it's up for the defense to win the football game?
Yeah, you know, I can't speak too much to the situation at UVA, but obviously, you know, stats are stats. You know, it's a poor producing offense up there, and I think Virginia Tech has more talent than UVA on the offensive side of the ball, so I think there should be less excuses for the Virginia Tech coaching staff. I know they got behind on offensive line recruiting for a while, but if you look at Virginia Tech's linemen as individuals, Sergio Render is probably the most physically gifted guard Virginia Tech's ever had. Ryan Schumann is grading out well. He's a very experienced, a very solid player. Nick Marshman's probably going to get drafted. Ed Wang played well last year when he came back from that ankle injury. So, you know, I mean, the individual talent looks like it's there, and it seems like a whole lot of times each one of those guys will have a block. There just seems to be more guys coming than they can block. And in pass protection, they're easily confused. So, you know, I mean, there's just major problems you know, right there. And like I said, I think there's individual talent up front, Virginia Tech. You know, you go back to last year, Dwayne Brown ended up being a first-round draft pick, and he's starting for the Houston Texans. In fact, three Virginia Tech rookies who played on the offensive side of the ball last year at Virginia Tech, they started over the weekend as rookies in the NFL. So last year, three guys on Virginia Tech's offense are already starting as rookies in the NFL. Now, you know, obviously talent was not the problem.
Chris Coleman, guys, our guest on Tuesdays. We're live in three states on five affiliates here on the Jerry Miller Show. We catch up with Mr. Coleman every Tuesday. Eddie Royal, I mean, the kid was awesome. I mean, that football game, Chris, was a horrible football game to watch. But I stayed glued to the television set because Eddie Royal was just abusing the Raiders secondary and one of the guys I despised the most in NFL football, D'Angelo Hall, Chris.
Yes, I agree. He crushed D'Angelo. D'Angelo is probably the most overrated cornerback in the NFL, in my opinion. I don't know how much he's making, $60 million or something like that. That's his contract. You know, I think he's got a lot of talent, but I think maybe he spends a little bit too much time running his mouth when he should spend his time trying to make himself a better natural football player. But anyway, as far as Eddie Royal goes, you know, they were using him last night like Florida uses Percy Harvin. You know, they were giving it to him on reverses and some unique kind of pitches, and they also let him throw a pass, which he also did at Virginia Tech, and he ran some reverses at Virginia Tech. So, you know, I mean, you can't say that Brian Steinspring didn't try to get him the ball in ways like that. But, you know, when you talk about last season, he had 9 catches at one point in the month of October for the entire season, and he had 9 last night in one game. You know, I mean, what does that tell you right there?
That tells you he was underutilized at Virginia Tech. Chris Coleman brings his A-plus game all the time. The associate editor at TechSideline.com. We go to TechSideline.com, guys, every day to prepare for this program. And he's exactly right about Eddie Royal. He throws a football pass against the Raiders. 9 catches for Royal, a bone 46 and a touch. They use him in the rushing department. 2 carries, 9 yards. Returning kicks, returning punts. How does, and we're going to get off Eddie Royal very quickly, get to the press conference today, Chris, but how does Marshall's return to Denver impact Eddie Royal's minutes and the looks he gets from Cutler?
Well, you know, it'll have an impact. I mean, Marshall's a guy who caught 102 passes last year, but at the same time, after last night, you can't view Eddie Royal as a number 2 receiver. You've got to view the Denver Broncos as having 2 number 1 type receivers. You know, I mean, Eddie Royal, I mean, he looks like a big-time NFL threat and a guy you've got to legitimately keep an eye on for maybe Rookie of the Year honors. I mean, you don't just, it's not a fluke game when you come out in your first time ever out there and just destroy what is a pretty solid, or on paper is a pretty solid, Oakland secondary. So, you know, I think we can expect big things from him down the road.
Eddie Royal and the Broncos, guys, host San Diego on Sunday. They host New Orleans the following week before traveling to Kansas City. Chris Coleman, our guest of TechSideline.com. One more Royal question, and I respect your football opinion, Chris. We said we made some early comparisons to, say, a Santana Moss when he was with the New York Jets, a Lavernius Coles, maybe similar built, the quick guys, the smaller guys that overachieve. Do you agree with the comparisons? Do you disagree? Who do you see Royal most resembling in the NFL?
NFL, man, I'm not really sure. It's you don't see too many guys his size as outside receivers or generally slot receivers. You know, I think with the way Denver used him last night, I think it kind of compares a little bit to Percy Harvin down with the Florida Gators. But Eddie Royal, you know, you look at him and he doesn't look like much, but I don't think a lot of people realize he benches almost 400 pounds. I mean, he has a very, very strong upper body. He came into Virginia Tech weighing 170 pounds, and as a true freshman is already benching 350. I mean, people completely underestimate his upper body strength and his ability to go up and get the football. So I think with that kind of strength, he's going to do just fine as an outside receiver in the NFL, and I think he showed that last night, obviously.
Guys, live in three states through five affiliates here on the Jerry Miller Show with associate editor from TechSideline.com, Chris Coleman, joins us every Tuesday. Let's talk about the headline in the Roanoke Times. I loved it. Muffled. The quarterback's muffled. They've been muted. They've been sequestered. They're not allowed to talk to media types. Tyrod Taylor, Sean Glennon. In my eyes, this just adds gas to the fire, fuel to the fire. It kind of makes a situation that really doesn't need a whole lot of attention get the spotlight of the media. How do you look at this from Frank Beamer telling the players, Tyrod and Sean, that no, you guys can't talk to the media?
Well, you know, I actually think it's a good call. You know, I think a lot of fans were starting to get on Glennon from some of his comments to the media. So, you know, I think it's a good call from that standpoint. And plus, you know, you just got to go focus on Georgia Tech right now. I think it's probably smart to try to get them to focus to try to prepare for two quarterbacks. But, you know, that being said, Virginia Tech's offense is a pretty simple offense to prepare for. You know, I mean, they're not stretching the field vertically in the passing game. So, I mean, you can play all your guys up close to the line of scrimmage and not worry about having to about getting burned deep. You know, pretty much, I mean, you got to be disciplined with Tyrod Taylor in there at quarterback to make sure he doesn't run around you and break off a big gain. But, you know, that whole preparing for two quarterbacks thing right now, it doesn't really hold any water with me because Virginia Tech's offense is so limited as a whole.
Let's pick up the pace and tempo with some quick hitters here, Chris Coleman. We got 90 seconds left. Our guest, Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com. Has Bud Foster found a new defensive star in Stephon Virgil?
I think he has. I think Virginia Tech always recruits good cornerbacks. They know how to evaluate them. Virgil, you look at him, he's just a naturally gifted player. Maybe not a great athlete, but just a good football player who knows the game.
Macho Harris's health. Can you give us an update?
I think Macho's good to go. He looked very good against Furman. They had him back there returning punts. He really came up and nailed one of their receivers on one passing play. So I think he's ready to rock and roll.
Why do you think the Virginia Tech Hokies are a 7-point favorite at home? Do you see Georgia Tech as maybe slightly overrated? How do you look at the Yellow Jackets in that line, Chris?
I'm debating picking Georgia Tech to win the game. And I think that's if you're a better, that's probably a great bet for Georgia Tech right there. You know, I really don't see why the Hokies should be favored by that many points. I think it's the respect of past seasons and Vegas not quite catching up yet.
Yeah, very quickly, 45 seconds here. What's the date with the 6-day option exercise for the VT-UNC game?
Yeah, you know, they're going to announce that on Sunday. I think they're just waiting to see the results of this weekend to see if maybe UNC beats Rutgers on Thursday night and see what happens with the Virginia Tech-Georgia Tech game on Saturday. And I think that's going to sort that out.
Chris Coleman, you're a very smart man. Read his stuff on TechSideline.com. He's the associate editor. His name is Chris Coleman. Every Tuesday he joins us on the Jerry Miller Show. Mr. Coleman, thank you, sir.
Yeah, Jerry, appreciate it, man.
Good man right there, Chris Coleman. Guys, 30 seconds left. We run headlines on the other side of the break. We will give tickets away to the Carolina Panthers Chicago Bears game Saturday, Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte at the bottom of the hour. We have a handful of family members that are in the front runners for these tickets, guys. Stay tuned to the Jerry Miller Show.